Well, my online dating panel, welcome to the call. How are you guys?
Wonderful.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
I am so happy to be talking to you. Before we jump into all the questions, though, I got to tell you, last week I was reading USA Today, and there was this great article about a huge research study on the effectiveness of online dating that eHarmony did, and some of the findings were really startling. It said that 1/3 of marriages now begin online, that couples who meet online are twice as likely to marry as those who meet offline. And the one that surprised me the most was that the couples who met online are happier than the ones who haven't. So, Jeannie, as our official eHarmony rep here, can you share more about this study and what you discovered?
Yes. It's been very exciting for us because we've known about the study and all the data for a long time, but we were waiting to see if it would get published in a reputable journal, and it did. So we're very excited when that happened. We did commission the study, and we turned all the data over from Harris Interactive to independent researchers. So they basically wrote an article, and we decided to publish it regardless. We agreed to publish it regardless of what any findings were. So happily, it worked out in our favor. We got lucky. Now, we always had faith and confidence that things were going to go well for us. But it was really, really positive, and we were really excited. I think there is definitely the number of people meeting online is amazing, but also I think that there's more authenticity. I think that, from the get-go, you have more information about this person. You're looking at it on the computer screen, even though some people might argue it's impersonal. I definitely think there's an authenticity here, and it's almost like a meeting of the minds before you actually physically meet. So in some ways, it doesn't surprise me that these people are happier because they have more information in the beginning before they even meet the person about what this person's about. Hopefully, they know what they're looking for on some level so they can make it a better determination.
That's so great. I want to start off here asking all of you, what do you believe the benefits of online dating are? And Liz, I know that you met your husband online. Why don't you kick us off with this?
Yes, I did meet my beautiful husband online. And I think that dating online, there's so many benefits of it, especially if you're in an industry that you don't meet a lot of people that you're interested in getting involved with. So for me, I was single, heterosexual, and I didn't meet a lot of men in my particular industry that I work in. So dating online just gives me a farther reach of people that I wouldn't necessarily meet if I went to a singles event or through a friend. And, I mean, I found it extremely successful, obviously, because I'm married now to my life partner.
And he's a cutie, I have to say. You did very well.
He's beautiful. Thank you. So, again, it gives you the availability to take action in your life and to go out there and to be able to put yourself out there and take action to call the one into your life.
And, Liz, would you be willing to share your age as being a first-time bride for the listeners?
Yes. First-time bride. I got married when I was 49, and I started, I think, online dating when I was about 46. I'd been in a relationship prior to that, and I did some online dating a little bit prior to that, and then I really started to get serious when I was about 46 and said, enough of this, and I put myself on a very, very intense program to really find my life partner.
And you did a great job. So for all of you out there thinking I'm too old, not true. And
you heard saying
me
I'm
say
older
it a million
now?
Times. My 80-year-old mother-in-law met her second soulmate on Match.com. So no excuses here. Reed, what do you think the benefits of online dating are?
The main thing is that online dating allows you to kind of mingle and vet people. You'd already mentioned the word authenticity. There's a way for you to basically figure out how to date your species with your profiles by putting out there what you're looking for and who you are as a person. And so people can kind of, they can quote unquote cruise you and learn more about you, where in like a noisy bar scene or something like that, or at a cocktail party, it's sometimes hard to really drop in and get to know people. With social anxieties and stuff being as they are. So I think with online dating, the social anxiety can be a little bit less. You can figure out who it is you want to vet to go further with. And that's one of the things I think is really useful about online dating.
Oh, thank you. Lauren, what do you think?
Well, as you know, I have a specialty at coaching women to find love online and teach courses about how to write your profiles and do pictures and do searches. So I am such a fan of online dating. And truthfully, most people in the 40s, 50s, and 60s are not hanging out at bars. So it's like the giant man catalog in the sky. And you can go shopping for men just like you go shopping for shoes, you know, at the Prada sale in a catalog. And, you know, the like everybody's talking about, you know, vetting people for relationships and uncovering, you know, I work a lot with uncovering secret hidden preferences that people write in their profiles. I call it dating like an international spy. So you can really find out so much information about what people are really looking for. And also, the most beautiful thing about online dating, I was actually interviewed, I think, by the Pittsburgh Daily Times around Valentine's Day about the lost art of the love letter, and I had to disrespectfully disagree, and truthfully, love letters are alive and well online, and, you know, when I work with people, I talk about creating a love letter to the universe. That's really what the opportunity of online dating is, to really allow you to focus your romantic intentions and clarify where you are at this particular life stage, as if you were never hurt before, and what are your real goals right now. And then what happens is, if you know how to romantically market yourself, your focus group, which is the online database, is going to respond, and they actually hold that vision of love for you. And I have so many wonderful examples of that, which I won't get into now, about, you know, real heart connections that
I
turn
love
into
that.
A relationship. Yeah.
The giant man catalog in the sky and the catalog in the sky. That's really beautiful. Jeannie, I know you've got a lot to say on it, but in a minute or less, what are the biggest benefits of online dating?
Well, I would have to agree with everybody else. Obviously, there's a much wider pool of people to choose from. I've talked to eHarmony couples who went to the same church but at different times, who lived two blocks
wow.
away from each other and never had met. There's so many stories like that. So that is the beauty of online dating, is just that power of connection that you can't get anywhere else. And like Lauren and Reed said as well, just the benefit of having all this information out there. You put the information out there about how you want others to see you, and you're authentic, and you put it out there. That's amazing. It's an amazing tool, and people are going to make a decision based on that. So be who you are, and I feel like the connection from the beginning is going to be better based on the information.
That's great. So, Lauren, what do you believe makes for a great, effective online profile? Give us a couple of tips of what to include and what not to include.
Oh, I love that. Okay, the most important thing to include that people often forget, which is a mind blower, is they forget to include what their romantic intentions are.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get married, like, women are often scared off in the culture by saying you're not allowed to kind of let men know what you want. It'll scare men off. And I always say you want to scare the wrong men off because they are like, you want to keep your landing strip free and clear for the right men to kind of arrive, and that goes for men as well. So if you say that you want, and I also encourage women to have a big romantic dream, and men really do get inspired by profound romance. And so, you know, I do feel like you need to market to the person that you're playing to. So, you know, I have women say that they want a bodice-ripping epic romance that lasts forever and turns into a magnificent marriage. And men really like that.
I think the bottom-ripping would grab them, yes.
A bottom-ripping romance that turns into a magnificent marriage. And so you want to put your romantic intentions in. And you want to also be really clear about, you know, what your status is. It's very important, you know, if you are too old to have children, you don't want to put once children definitely in the profile. It gets really confusing for people. So I'm so sorry. Ariel, can you restate the question for me? Because I literally went off on my own trip.
No. That, you were actually, Lauren, you did a great job of answering the question. I wanted you to say what to definitely include in your profile, And tell us one thing not to include.
Okay, and one thing that you also you do not want to include is your laundry list of complaints. So very interesting. This is not a therapy session. This is not like a gripe session about all the ways that you've gotten hurt. You want to be positive. You want to be aspirational. I would say you want to be an inspirational leader of men and women, right, when you put yourself out online. And you don't want to complain about all the things that have hurt you in the past. So people that say no cheaters, no liars, even people that say no winks, it's an inappropriate place, and it's a red flag for people that there's something wrong with you.
That makes sense. Liz, what do you think makes for a great, effective online profile, and what would you say to include or not include?
Well, I'm going to echo a lot of what Lauren just said. If you're looking for a relationship that will lead to marriage, you must be clear and put that in. I was very clear when I made my profile, and I very clearly stated what my romantic intention was, exactly what Lauren said. See, your stuff works, Lauren. And I put into my profile a little bit about myself and what was important to me, my values. I didn't want to make it too long. I just don't believe people read really long profiles, especially men. They get bored with it. I get bored when I read a long profile. You want to be honest about yourself physically, about your weight, about your age. And I think that was one of the biggest things that I heard when I was dating. And I dated a lot. I mean, there were some days I had 2 and 3 coffee dates in a day. And I heard that women have a tendency not to put their accurate weight or the kind of physical shape that they're in. So you want to be honest about that, because if you're going to meet, they're going to see you in person anyway. So you want to be clear and honest. And again, I'm going to echo what Lauren said. You don't want to put your whole laundry list of negative things. You don't want to hang all your information out there about your tragic past and your exes and all of that. You just want to put very clearly what you're looking for, qualities you're looking for, and, you know, for myself, it was important that a man was spiritual and embraced some of the beliefs that I have holistically, and I put that out there. So
yeah,
I think that's
perfect,
important.
Great.
Yeah.
Reed, what do you think?
I like to lead with something that a lot of people, well, I mean, basically, I think so many people are still trying to, like, what can I write that will attract the perfect person? And they end up going down this rabbit hole of, like, I have to be somebody else to win somebody. And, you know, and we've already started stating this a couple of times, be self-expressed, you know, focus on the things that you're looking for, focus on the things that you like to do. You know, list off those things that you want to be doing in your relationship with your partner on a daily basis, the things that you really love that you get nourishment from, and try to stay away from, you know, worrying and concocting the perfect profile to attract that mate, because we end up creating these false identities of who we think culture said we're supposed to be. And then I also like to advise people to, in early on in your profile, put some little hoop for people to jump through so you know they actually read it. That way, if it's apparent in the first couple of paragraphs that they didn't read your profile, I pretty much, you know, shuffle those people to the side. I'm looking for a partner who actually pays attention and who can ingest information, because they might be a better communicator down the long run, and that's who I'm going to be wanting to have a relationship with.
So, Reed, we're a bunch of girls here. We don't get the sports analogies. What do you mean by add a hoop?
Well, I mean, that for some of the people that I coach and where they're posting, you know, looking for people, they have to say early on in their profiles, please do not send me any naked pictures of yourself. That way, if somebody sends them a naked picture, then they know to just put them off to the side and not actually consider their response, because that person obviously didn't read or can follow suggestions. Other requests would be like, you know, here are 3 books that if you wanted to know who I am more as a person, you could read. What are 3 books that you would have me read to learn more about you? And then that way, in those profiles, if somebody doesn't answer your question, your hoop, that they have to jump through early in, you can start to vet whether they're actually reading your profiles or not, and how well they're paying attention, because ultimately I want to be dating somebody or in a relationship with somebody who's actually has a good sense of being able to be present and follow along, is cognizant in how we're having our exchanges.
That's great. That's really interesting. I like that a lot. So, Jeannie, what do you think makes for an effective online profile? What do you say we should include or not include?
I'm remembering a story or an interview I had with one of our success couples. I get to go on the set of the commercial sometimes, and this one girl told me that, she had filled out her profile. It was kind of distracted, not in a great mood, and the matches she were getting were just not right for her. So she thought, you know what, maybe I had an off day. I'm going to fill this out again. So she was really present, filled that out again, really completely honestly, and she met her husband like 2 weeks later. So I would say be completely honest, be in a good state of mind, be present when you're filling out your profile. And like Reed was saying, don't write about what someone, you think someone wants to hear. Just be who you are, be authentic. And the other thing I would say is to try to avoid generic answers. I see a lot of people complaining that, what are you passionate about? Family, friends, good health. Be more specific than that. Make your profile stand out with, which is something, whether it's a quote you love or, I absolutely love this book, or just more specific, I think is better. And just take time. Take time to fill it out. Be thoughtful. Don't rush through it, and be honest.
Good.
And can I echo something that Jeannie's saying? This is Lauren.
Sure.
A lot of people write lists of things, and instead of writing lists of things, if you write what you're wearing while you're doing that thing, so people can actually visually kind of see you in it, or describe, how you're doing something, it is much easier to read. People really tune out from this kind of these little one-word lists.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't allow them to
that.
Kind of really connect. Mm-hmm.
So, Lauren, how would you say that I'm sitting here in my purple V-neck cashmere sweater?
So this is what I want to say. I'm in a purple V-neck cashmere sweater sipping jasmine tea, at my favorite tea house in Albuquerque. That's really different than saying I love tea, cashmere sweaters, et cetera. It's just kind of you're able to kind of see. I call it there's like sometimes a refrigerator or freezer chill, that kind of freezer smell that happens with online dating. So you want to really kind of leap off the page. And it's really, I'm not advocating pretending that you're anybody that you're not. You want to be exactly who you are. But like Jeannie was talking about, you want to describe yourself in a way that people can actually get a sense of who you are. So taking the time to really write in complete sentences instead of bullet points and lists really is more effective. It's like almost like a little visual poem in a certain way.
A visual poem. I like that. That makes sense. Well, now, I know photos are a really big deal on online dating, so I want to ask each of you about the kinds of photos to post and not post. And Jeannie, let's start with you.
Wow, I just had the great fortune of looking through a bunch of profiles a couple weeks ago with one of our counselors here, and I was honestly shocked at just the amount of bad photos. I've written so many articles about photos, and we've put out so many, I thought by now that people would have gotten it, but it's so important to put up good pictures of yourself. You engaging in a favorite activity, out hiking, whether you're having coffee at a coffee shop or you're on vacation, just the things of you that are you in your element, you engaging in a passion. So those are all the good things. And obviously good quality is really important too. But what shocked me overall was just that people upload anything. Blurry photos, the selfies in the bathrooms. No one wants to see you in the bathroom. And people might also think, does this person not have any friends that can take pictures of them? It's just not, the selfie thing I think needs to go away. Yeah, no selfies. And then also, photos in bathing suits, and the guys with the shirtless photos. I just feel like it doesn't convey. If you're looking for a serious relationship, do not post photos of yourself in the bathing suit or, for the guys with shirtless photos.
Okay.
It's just the risk is, it conveys a message that you don't want to put across.
Reed, what do you say about the photos?
If you're a professional surfer, then maybe a couple of topless photos of you, without your shirt surfing or something. But it's true, people, we live in such a digital society now, and the shorthand for how we take pictures with our phones and whatnot when we're texting our friends, they already know you. Mm-hmm. Don't post the pictures that you text your friends necessarily, you know, online because for dating, because these people are just starting to get to know you. So again, like, post pictures of you doing the things you love doing, because if I love doing them too, I'm going to resonate with that and be much more excited because here's actual proof that you hike. Oh my goodness, I hike too. And then the other thing I really like to do, because there's so much, you know, people posting younger pictures of themselves or, you know, nothing current, I like to, for people who geek out on this stuff, I like to, you know, Photoshop a couple of pictures of me throughout my life together, ending with the most current one, because then I'm also encouraging people to share pictures of their, you know, how they grew up and whatnot, and encouraging them to post their most recent photo. And like we were saying about telling a story rather than just giving bullet points, if you feel comfortable with it, you know, share, you can share visually a couple of pictures of you as you grew up, maybe where you lived, because I like learning about people, and visual learning is a way to show that too. But ultimately, you're encouraging people to post a current photo of themselves.
I like that, Reed. I like the timeline. You know, here I am at 5, at 15, at 32, and today, or something like that. That's kind of sweet. Lauren, what do you say about the photos?
Well, you know, I do that Man Magnet makeover, and I actually have women fly in from all over the world, and I do a 3-day seminar, which really creates the online profile. I'm going to say that again. I do the Man Magnet makeover, as you know, Ariel, and women fly in from all over the world to this 3-day workshop, and we do a physical makeover, and we do a whole day of photo shoot, your photos, which are in different locations, so they don't look like they're done in one day. And then we do the online profile writing. And the thing about photos, like Jeannie was saying, actually, and is very true, is that the most important thing about your profile, sadly, or beautifully, is the first photo. Because if people don't, well, actually, with eHarmony, people are getting sent matches. But even if you're getting sent a match on eHarmony, if the person doesn't like your photo, they are not going to click it, or they're not as likely to click it. And if there's no photo, your odds for romantic success go way down. It's like dating with a bag on your head, although you would probably get more attention dating with a bag on your head if you went into a bar than you would online. So the first photograph should – your photograph should always look exactly like you. You do not want to – you know, honesty in marketing is really important, and the biggest problem that most people have is because they don't look like the person that the person saw on the photo, you'll get disqualified. People get really angry about that. So I totally concur. You know, you want to post your you want to post photos really that were done this year, and you want to, the first profile picture should, I always recommend, should be done in a bright color, like orange or red or vivid blue or something that's going to kind of leap off of the screen, that's got a higher opportunity for you to go and have somebody notice it on a huge page. Again, it's like catalog shopping, so you want to be the person that stands out. And every photograph, I encourage women, when we do our photos, the Man Magnet makeover, every photograph, I have women smile in them. Because what's really interesting is you can never misconstrue a smile, but if you are not smiling in your photo, people can intuit or kind of make up a story about why you're not smiling. So a person could look at a man's photo and say, oh, he's angry. Or a man could look at a woman and go, oh, she seems cold, right? They can make up a story. But if you're looking directly at the camera and you're smiling in each picture, now a lot of times people don't like their teeth, so people don't smile online, but seeing your teeth is, you know, if they meet you, they're going to see your teeth anyway. So you can use Crest White Strips and whiten your teeth. And for women, I always suggest that you go to a department store. You can go to the MAC makeup counter or the Chanel makeup counter and ask them to do your makeup. And you can even say, I'm doing photographs for online dating. And you can pay them $50, and they will do your makeup and just tell them that you want it to look natural. and like a nice nude lipstick, maybe with a little light liner that's not, that blends beautifully. And doing false eyelashes will not look like, when you're in the photo, it will not look like you're wearing false eyelashes. It will just, your eyes will open up. And then in every, you know, and you want to have a, so that's the headshot, and that should get cropped kind of somewhere, you know, about 2 inches below the breast. Because if you crop it too high, it can sometimes make even a thin woman look like a large woman. Or a, you know, I'm not going to kind of extrapolate what it would mean if you were a man and you cropped it there, but it's basically the same thing. You want to basically show your shape. And then in the second photo, you want to show a body shot so that people can actually see the whole image of you. And, you know, I do think that if people do things like belly dancing or skydiving or, you know, fly fishing, you doing something that's, you know, exotic and interesting to you is going to connect with people that also find that fascinating.
Oh, that's terrific. Liz, do you have anything you want to add about online photos?
Well, I think everyone pretty much covered it, but I definitely, I mean, I concur with all three of the other panelists in not putting old photos up. You cannot put old photos. You've got to put recent photos. You might be 30 pounds heavier now. You have to put yourself exactly the way you look like, because there's nothing more disappointing or frustrating when you get to the date and the person does not look like the photo that they posted online. I also think it's prudent to, again, make sure the photos are visible, you can see your face, and no sunglasses. And here's another little pet peeve of mine, is when people started posting photos of sunsets and eagles and the car parked on the street, and I see more guys post photos of their cars or their motorcycles, and honestly, I'm not quite sure that's really the best place for a photo of your car or your motorcycle. We just want to see photos of who you are, again, doing something that you love doing. For women, I would not do glamour photos with a lot of makeup. Maybe gentle makeup is great. But pretty much what everybody else said, recent photos.
Well, then let me ask you this. When you were online dating, did you mm-hmm. have a profile up on more than one site?
Yes, I did.
How many were you on?
Oh, my goodness.
Tell the truth.
Okay, you ready for the list?
Yes.
I was on Yahoo Personals. I was on Match.com. I was on eHarmony. I was also on JDate, which for all the Jewish people online here, you know exactly what that is. And I think there were a couple of others, maybe Plenty of Fish. And, you know, my belief system is that if I'm serious about finding a life partner, then I had to cast the seeds out there on as many sites as possible. And I quickly learned which sites I liked and which ones I did not like and which sites had the kind of people that I was looking for. And, you know, some of the sites that maybe didn't resonate for me as much.
What site did you find Jeff on?
Match.com. And again, it didn't mean that I wouldn't have found him on Yahoo Personals or another site. That just happens to be the site that I, you know, Jeff and I found each other.
So you're in the more is better category, it sounds like.
You know what? But yes, yes, definitely.
Okay.
But
that's
my belief system, is that I was really looking for my life partner. So I was doing everything that I possibly knew how to do to give a message to the universe that, hey, I'm really serious about this, and here goes.
Reed, what's your thought on this?
Well, I mean, I'm a geek, and so I geek out on things like algorithms and whatnot, and I'm always interested in, you know, the dating sites and how their algorithms work and how they make matches. So if you know more about exactly who you're looking for in a relationship, there are certain websites that are better for that, because their algorithms are better. And then for some people who are just starting out in relationships and whatnot, maybe don't know what they need or have been burned so many times that they're just like, you know what, maybe I should just look in a different watering hole for somebody completely different. Then there are some websites where the algorithms are better for people who don't know what they're looking for. The way that they do the matches just ends up making better matches for them. So to the extent that you can find out, you know, read up on reviews of websites, how they do their matching, that can be really useful. And, you know, when in doubt, if you have the time, then putting your dating out there on lots of different sites might be great for you to discover your self-expression in online dating, and how that works best for you, and you can eventually start honing in what works for you and what doesn't.
Thank you. Now, Jeannie, I'm going to assume your favorite online site is eHarmony.
You are so smart.
who would you say is the right kind of person for eHarmony?
I would say the person who is looking for a serious relationship, and not necessarily marriage, although we have a lot of people who want to get married, but I think if you want a great long-term relationship, come to eHarmony.
And, Lauren, I know you coach a lot of women on this. What's your opinion? Be on one site or be on multiple sites, and how would you choose?
That's a great question, and I get asked that a lot. And the truth is that all of the dating sites work. It's really what you're doing that determines the success or the failure of your experience online. And I do think that a lot of people do go to eHarmony that are really interested in serious romantic relationships. But again, it's really the thing about posting on too many dating sites at one time is that the most activity that you're going to get online is during your, what I call your online launch. So I have, when I work with women, I have them schedule time in their calendars around their launch specifically to check in a very kind of a continuous way, usually for an hour and a half every other day during their initial launch, because there's going to be a lot of activity. So if you're on multiple sites, you will not be able to kind of tend to. And also when I work with women, they tend to get so many hits that you really do, it can become a very overwhelming experience, which I think also is one of the pitfalls of online dating, is that if you don't really know how to kind of vet men properly, because you want to screen men and women for relationship, but you also want to write a profile that balances the wrong people out, because otherwise it can become quite overwhelming. So really be mindful about how much time you can devote to it, especially during your launch. And then be consistent with follow-up. And it's interesting because people, you know, if you really put out what you want and somebody sees you online, they're going to be like, ooh, I really want that. I want that. And then they're going to reach out to you. And sometimes people write very soulful, really thoughtful responses. And if you don't respond, it does feel like a rejection. And people do feel badly about it. And so you do want to be able to mind the store, so to speak.
Yeah,
you actually
are leading into my next question, which is really how much of a commitment do you do? Do you do this every day? And I wanted to ask Liz this. How much time were you devoting to your online dating search?
Well, in between what I was doing at work, I allowed myself the evenings to do this because, of course, I worked during the daytime, and in the evenings I would sit down, check my email, go through all the different sites and see if there's anybody new. So I would allow myself the evenings, and then when I was on my little dating frenzy, again, I would make sure that I was setting up dates that didn't get in the way of my schedule too much, but I made space for it. I had to be willing. People say, oh, well, I don't have time to date. Well, then you don't have time to have a relationship then, because if you don't have time to get yourself, put yourself out there, you really shouldn't be looking for something serious then, because you have to make time and space in your life, you know, in order to manifest what you're seeking.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And
I've heard people say, I'm just too busy.
Yeah. No.
And Arielle, this is Lauren again. I just really want to underline what Liz just shared, because people really underestimate the amount of time it does take to be successful sometimes at online dating. And oftentimes I'll have clients that I have a strange statistic where people often meet the love of their lives on the second date from online dating. It's amazingly interesting that has happened so much with my coaching, but oftentimes it does take people a period of time, and there's also kind of a dating fatigue that people fall into. So I often suggest, you know, set aside like a Tuesday night and a Friday night, and allow that to be your online date night, or Sunday afternoons. Like Liz was sharing, she went on 3 dates in one day, and I've had women schedule dates at, you know, I live in L.A. and I also work in New York City, but there's Shutters and Casa Del Mar. So I'll have women set up a coffee date at Casa Del Mar and then go to Shutters in an hour after that and then go back to Casa Del Mar because, you know, it is also a numbers game and really meeting people.
Mm-hmm. Reed, what do you coach your people to do in terms of how much time they put aside for online dating?
Well, I want to underscore first what Liz said. Like, if you don't have time to date, you don't have time for a relationship. Maybe you have time for a casual friendship or whatever that's going to look like for you where, you know, you're getting some of your romantic needs met. But, you know, as far as, like, actual hours per week, my overarching advice is I think people should split their dating time and their socializing time 50-50. Because a lot of people in the dating world are going dating starving for a relationship, which is like going food shopping when you're hungry. Like you end up making bad food choices. So I counsel a lot of, you know, the people I work with to also start going to meetups. And the things that you really want to be doing that you wish you had a relationship to do so that you're getting some of your socializing and what I call monkey needs. You know, because we're just monkeys with shoes, some of us fabulous shoes. But, like, are you getting your socializing needs met so that you're not so starved when you go on your dates? And I think you should, you know, for some people, splitting that 50-50, you know, if Sunday is going to be your dating day, you know, maybe Wednesday night is your day to go to a meetup or go on some event or go to a dancing class. Because if you're doing things that you really like to do anyway, sometimes you'll meet people there, but when you do have that great first date, you now have something to invite them to a second date that's a social event, and you can kind of test drive them socially and see how they work in, you know, social situations and how you two guys work together.
Yeah, that actually happened to me years ago when I was still dating. I went out with this guy a couple of times, and then I decided to get certified in scuba diving and take a trip to the Caribbean with my class. And as soon as this guy heard I was taking the trip, he just invited himself along. He just went, signed up for the same thing, and we actually continued dating during the trip, and we spent 2 years together. So I became more interesting to him because I was doing what I wanted to do. So that's a really good point. Jeannie, anything you want to add in here about how much time to devote to online dating?
Well, I love what you just said about don't forget to live your life in the process. So I think that's so important. It just makes you more attractive. So, yes, while you want to take time and you know, you're going to get out of it what you put into it. So, you know, set aside time to look at profiles that come in, be thoughtful about it, but live your life in the process. And what, like Reed was saying, you know, don't just sit on your computer every night and all weekend long. Live your life. And because that, also there's that sense of desperation that people can sense right away. It's a total deal breaker. So in the process of looking for a partner, live your life. Go take scuba diving. But, you know, but also take it seriously and do devote some time to it.
Liz, I want to ask you something. So when you were in the midst of your multiple sites and dating, what was your process? Like how many email connections did you have before you would have the first contact? And what was that, by phone? Was it coffee? When did you go on a date? Will you share your formula with us?
Yes. This is such a hot button for me because I believe that too many people waste a lot of time going back and forth with emails and then begin to fall in love with someone via email when it's in reality it's just a fantasy. So I did set up a formula for myself, and I felt strongly about probably the maximum 3 email communications. And then after that 3 email communications, I would evaluate and think, okay, do I want to talk to this person? Do I want to take this to the next step? And if they didn't suggest it, I would absolutely say, hey, I'd really like to talk. What do you think? And then we would have a phone conversation at either his suggestion or my suggestion. And then after a phone conversation, if I felt like I wanted to meet that person or if he felt he wanted to meet me, one of us would say, let's meet for coffee. I never set myself up for going to a movie or going to dinner. It was always a 20-minute coffee date. So that was kind of my pattern. I honestly didn't want to waste a lot of time talking to people on the phone for hours or doing the email communication, I did hear a lot of horror stories about people falling in love and thinking this is the one they hadn't even met yet. And so I wanted to kind of stay out of that trap and just, you know, I was on a mission.
And so if coffee went well, what happened next?
If coffee went well, and it varied because some men right away would say, oh, I'd really like to see you again. Would you like to go out again? And I would either say yes or no, or yes, I would love to do that, or no, you know, I'm not really sure if we're a match. Usually, if I'd gone to the point of having a coffee date and I felt like it was going well, you know, I would say, you know, yes to dinner, but I think about 50% of the time, people would wait a day or so and then contact each other via email. And so they would say, you know, I would get an email, would you like to go to dinner? Or I would even send an email, I really enjoyed our meeting. I'd like to go to – I actually asked Jeff out again, my husband.
That's so great. Lauren, yeah. What's your take on all this?
Can you restate the question for me, sweetheart?
Yeah, so once you want – you connect with somebody online, what's the process from email to talking on the phone to meeting in person?
You know, I think that what was just shared by Liz is really great. I have there are a lot of phone romances online, and there are a lot of people that are looking for fantasy and virtual connections. Not everybody online is single, sadly. So what you do want to do is but the truth is most people that are online are single and they are looking for real relationships. So I suggest that you do two email volleys back and forth. I don't suggest that you share a lot of information personally about yourself. I have a lot of online safety tips, and I'm an online safety expert.
Yeah, we're going to get to
for
that
women.
Topic for sure.
Yeah, so I can share more about that in a moment. But, you know, I think that if you do two emails back and forth, two email volleys, oftentimes what will happen now is men will actually say, here's my number if you'd like to give me a ring. And a lot of women are like, well, he should be calling me. But the truth is that it's men have learned that a lot of women don't feel safe giving their phone numbers out to people they don't know, and rightly so. And so if that happens, you know, I don't suggest that you feel insulted by that. They're just kind of cutting to the chase. And people are getting also more skilled at how to date online, and people do know that they want to connect with a real person. So I would do two email volleys, and then for women, you can say something. I suggest that you say, I have little love scripts for this, you can say to the man, you know, perhaps it would be fun to have a virtual date on the phone, and dot, dot, dot. And then the man will go, I would love to. Here's my phone number. And if he says, great, would you like to send me your number, you can simply say, you know, I might be still more comfortable calling you if you send me your number and the best times to ring, I will. With a little smiley face. We're awake. and then he will. And then when you get on the phone with him, you know, if you feel comfortable with him, you know, a lot of people can sound great on, you look great on the screen or sound great on the written word, but you just don't like the tone of their voice, you don't like their energy. I really suggest that if you don't like their energy and the conversation, that you don't meet them. I don't believe in duty dating. I think that people get a lot of dating fatigue and get burnt out. So I really encourage women to go out with men that they're truly excited about and men to go out with women they're truly excited about. If you don't feel that little spark, at the end of the call you can say, you know, thank you so much for your time and have a lovely night. And if the person says, well, would you like to go out? You can say, you know, I'm not quite feeling that special click I'm looking for, but I do wish you all the best.
Oh,
and that is
a
very graceful way to exit. And then if you do like them and you're speaking to somebody on the phone, you can say, and I have women kind of look at the clock and go, after like 15 minutes, because it's not a date, it's a phone call, and after, you know, 15 or 20 minutes, if you're feeling comfortable, you can say to the man, you know, I feel so comfortable on the phone with you, and I'm enjoying myself so much, I would feel really comfortable meeting. And then the guy can go, that sounds great. Where would you like to meet? And I always suggest that a woman have, you know, two places that she doesn't normally go. It could be a hotel bar, a bar, for example, at a hotel that's very public. And you can set up the date there.
That's fantastic. I like that. Jeannie, do you have anything you'd want to add to that?
I think everybody's really done an amazing job covering that it's important to actually meet the physical person as soon as possible and to do it in a safe way, whether you're meeting, you know, at the coffee shop or wherever. And we also have a lot of security tips on our site, but letting a friend know you're going to be there, making sure, you know, you get your phone fully charged, just being really aware and smart about it. But I think it's really important to meet someone in person if you're feeling it along those other lines of communication as quickly as possible, because like a few people have said, people can be anything in the written word or online, right? And then talking to them on the phone is going to give you a little more insight into maybe what their personality or what their energy is. And then obviously meeting in person is the best gauge.
That's great. Reed, do you have anything you want to add to this part of the conversation?
I mean, you know, not everybody, like, I love the virtual phone date idea, you know, but if you're somebody who doesn't give great phone, you know, that might feel awkward. But if you're setting up your online profile and your email exchanges and the coffee date as ways of assessing who's a good fit for you in your, in, you know, like basically you're trying to date your species. And then once you, you know, for me personally, like if we don't click on email, then it's not going to get any better over coffee because I love email. You know, if the phone call doesn't go well because I give good phone, I'm comfortable on the phone as a means of getting to know somebody. I don't want to spend hours on the phone, but then I'm not going to meet you on a first actual, you know, for coffee, or I'm not going to hope it's going to get better. So being okay with telling people, you know, I am not feeling that special click like we just shared. Because they're going through that too, and so many of us have been on that bad second date because the other person couldn't say no. So, you know, realizing that everybody, you know, you can be graceful with people, and most people actually appreciate honesty and authenticity these days, and if you empower them to be able to handle their own emotions in the same ways that we would like to be empowered, then you're using, you know, those email exchanges, you know, those two emails, or, you know, I wouldn't do more than five because you do get sucked into the fantasy piece, especially if you're going food shopping hungry. If you're starving for connection, you start to fall in love, you know. And the only other thing I would caution people is, you know, that first or second date, don't go on that four-day long weekend dream date, because most people, when you spend that much time together, and it's you're having fun, you start to fall in love. And we have studies now that, you know, the brain chemistry and the brain activity that's happening when you're in love is the exact same areas of the brain and very similar blood chemistry to when you're addicted to cocaine. Mm-hmm. So you want to manage your imprinting. You want to manage your imprinting triggers early on until you really know that this person is a good fit for you to fall in love with.
Yeah, that's really, really good advice, which kind of segues into the safety issues. So let's talk a little bit about, particularly for women, dating online safely. And Jeannie, what's the eHarmony advice on this?
The eHarmony advice is for a first date meeting, get yourself there. So don't ever have someone come pick you up. Don't reveal personal information, everything we've talked about. So get yourself there. Let someone know that you're going there. Go to a public place like a coffee shop or somewhere you're comfortable. And then just, you know, reveal more about yourself as time goes on. Don't, you know, even the second day, it's probably still a good idea to meet somewhere. So let people know, just, you know, have your phone with you, and just be smart and keep your eyes open. And don't drink too much either. If you go to a bar, you know, to have one drink and that's it. So you want to have all your faculties about you when you're meeting someone new.
That makes perfect sense. Liz, what kind of safety precautions did you take?
Well, I'm echoing exactly what
Jeannie.
Oh, no, I lost it. What Jeannie just said, sorry. I was thinking Lauren, but that was Jeannie. I'm sorry. Jeannie, what you just said is absolutely perfect because, you know, you definitely want to let a friend know. I always let a girlfriend know where I'm going, the name of the guy, what his screen name is, and even his phone number. Normally, and again, I did what Lauren said. I always took their phone number rather than they taking my phone number. I preferred a man not having my phone number if I didn't know them. So I like to be in control of that. And, again, made sure a friend knew where I was going. If I could, I would prefer meeting during the daytime for a coffee date. I tried to leave alcohol out of the equation. Sometimes that wasn't always, you know, possible. If you know, there was an evening date or something, we could still meet for coffee or tea. But I definitely, in a public place, and even the second date, or sometimes even the third date, I mean, I went out with a man at least 10 times once, and I did not let him pick me up, even during those 10 dates. I just didn't feel comfortable with it and with him. And then there were other men that I did feel comfortable, maybe the, you know, fourth or fifth date, having them know where I live and pick me up. So you've really got to use your intuition as a barometer and be safe, be safe, be safe.
Good. Thank you. Lauren.
Yeah.
I love what was shared by both of your, my other lovely panelists. You know, there is a book by Gavin DeBecker called The Gift of Fear, and he is a security and safety expert, and he basically says that everyone's got an intuition, a sixth sense, about what feels right and when something feels off. So the first thing that I always share with everybody is if you feel, if your instinct, if you look at somebody and go, or if you meet somebody and you feel uncomfortable, trust your intuition. That's the first safety rule, is to actually trust your intuition. Now, if you're someone who has terrible intuition, you know, it's good to get some support around making good choices in this area, and there are a lot of resources for that. And so that's the first thing. I also feel I would also like to say that if you, and this is a little, people don't really understand this, if you post a photo on the World Wide Web, if you post a photo on Facebook and you also use it as your online profile picture, and now on a lot of dating websites they'll say, want to upload photos from Facebook, if you do that, men or women can take your photo from an online dating site and drop it into Google Image, and they will find you on Facebook, they will find you at work, they will find you anywhere on the World Wide Web that that photo is posted. So your anonymity, your cover is completely blown. So that's why it's very important to take photos specifically for online dating. And if you've got a great photo and you love it and you want to use it for LinkedIn or something else, don't use it in your online profile. So that's really a big, that's a big safety tip. And then the next thing is, I suggest that you do not use your real first name. A lot of people hilariously use their name, and it'll be Bob 9257. That means that there are Bob, there are 950,600 other Bobs online in front of that Bob. So first of all, it's very uncreative. It's not a good handle. And it also gives you Bob's first name, which is obviously Bob. So you want to also not put, you know, where it says favorite places that you like to go and hotspots, people often put specific places that they actually go. They'll say Barney's Beanery, or they'll say the Ivy at the Shore. And if you frequent those places, then anybody online that sees your profile that doesn't necessarily even have had to make contact with you will actually know how to find you. If you say, like, going to the farmer's market on Monday mornings at the on the west side in Santa Monica, they will actually know where to find you. So most people are not really savvy enough about not putting those kinds of details in. And there's a way you can say, I love strolling through a farmer's market and sniffing a peach. You don't have to say which farmer's market and on which day. And then the last thing I'll say about this is that I do suggest that you get a phone, and this goes for men and women. Men get stalked and harassed often as much as women do if they're super handsome. And it is very upsetting for people to feel like their privacy is invaded. And I think that that's actually the reason why most people don't want to put themselves out online. And so if you go to your phone carrier, they all have pay-as-you-go phones, and it has nothing to do with your account. It's an anonymous phone, and just like drug dealers apparently use. And you can get a phone number specifically for online dating that also gets text. And that is something you're going to be really happy about, especially if you date somebody and they get annoyed. And the next thing that I'll share, I have two more tips, is for women, if you don't like someone and you're out on a date, because the dating dynamics between men and women, it is different as a woman dating online than it is for a man. And if you don't like the person that you're dating, right, and you're out on a date, first of all, if you walk in and the person does not look like the person that you picked out in the picture, in the catalog, I encourage women to say, you know, you don't look like the person that I thought I was coming to meet, and I'm going to have to bow out and good night. Mm-hmm. And they will know why you did that, but the first thing that you know actually is that they actually did not tell the truth. They actually tricked you. And that goes for men, too. If you show up and the woman is not who she represented herself to be, you can say, no, this is not the person I thought was coming to meet. I'm sorry, but I'm going to leave. And that will be a good experience for the person that kind of did that, because you'll have set a boundary. A lot of it's about setting healthy boundaries with people. And I also really encourage you to not use your real name until you have met somebody on the first date. I would definitely encourage the women that I work with to use a nickname, and you can pick a nickname. It can be part of the handle that you're working with, but you don't want to have somebody have the ability to kind of find or Google you. So, for example, I just launched a woman online today for my last non-magnet, and she's an endocrinologist, and she lives in Oregon. And if we used her first name, I actually am now freaked out because I actually shared those two things on this call. So hopefully nobody's going to try to Google her. But it is very easy to put the pieces together. So you want to, and I'm not saying this to be paranoid, but truthfully, I have not ever had a client have a problem with their safety online when they've followed these dating tips. So I encourage you to just be mindful. And I do have a program called Cyber Flirt, which explains how to write your profile and how to be safe and how to look for love in a way that's going to be proactive and protective.
So I have a question about that, Lauren. So if you're using a screen name or a handle or a nickname, at what point do you reveal your real name?
Fantastic question. So at the end of the first date, if you loved him, if you enjoyed him, if it was delightful, what you can do is at the end of the date, you can say, you know, I actually used a nickname online because, you know, it is a safety issue, but my real first name is Rose. And if the man has any problem with it, that's a really good reason to never see him again, because men should know that it is scary for women in a way that it's not scary for men.
Oh,
and
good.
And the other thing that I will say, and this is actually very helpful, if a man asks you out on a date and you don't want to see him again, don't shoot him down point blank. Don't shoot him down face to face, because men can often get angry. A lot of times women have a hard time saying no, and will just say yes, like Reed was saying, right? They'll just kind of go along and, you know, be a good girl and say yes because they don't want to hurt the person's feelings. Or you might even feel like, I've got to get myself back out there, so you'll go and accept a date you don't like. So if you're in that position, you get a gold star for number one being out on a first date. But just say, you know, that might be fun. Please feel free to give me another call. And then when the person calls, or text, you can email them back or call them and say, you know, thank you so much for asking and for spending time with me. I'm not quite feeling that special click that I like to feel, but I wish you all the best.
Oh, that's very elegant and graceful. I like that.
Yeah, it allows men to save face.
Reed, I wanted to ask you something, because you've mentioned this term a few times today, dating your species. Will you tell us what that is and how it's approached works in online dating?
Sure. Well, the basic idea is that, you know, for our, let's just say our great grandparents, like a couple of generations ago, you were lucky if you married, if you were set up with, or if you found and were in a relationship with a good person. And there was a lot of social pressures to stick it out and tough it out, no matter what, because happiness a couple of generations ago wasn't exactly a big part of the relationship model. You know, if you had a good person who worked hard and brought home money and didn't beat the kids and didn't embarrass you in front of the PTA, you know, and you guys had healthy kids and, you know, cross your fingers, you got to see your grandchildren raised and they were healthy, like you wanted the game of life. But now happiness is a really big part of relationships. And we, as we already said, like when you start to fall in love, you basically become a cocaine addict. And that may explain why some of your friends made really poor relationship choices, because they fell in love with a good person who was a horrible fit for them in relationship. And where online dating gets to be really useful is you get to, you know, design your profile authentically and, you know, you basically scare away the people that you shouldn't be dating. And then you use the coffee dates and the emails and that first and second date to figure out if you guys should be going on a third date. And then once you start getting into, like, third date territory, I think then you're really having a frank conversation with these people. If you want a long-term relationship, if you're just dating for fun, then go on as many dates as you want. But by that third date, you should be really having a frank conversation about, listen, if we start to fall in love and go crazy because we're hooked on each other like cocaine, you know, are our goals and our values and the things that we want, are we in alignment? Is this going to be a good fit? And so dating your species then just becomes this idea of figuring out what are your win-wins in relationship, what are your bottom lines that you never want to cross, because when you cross them, you automatically put an expiration date on the relationship. And then what are those things in your relationship you're willing to have be areas that you guys can work on to meet each other? Or, you know, the wiggle room where, yeah, it's not my preference, but you leave your socks on the bedroom floor is not a big deal because all these other things are in alignment with what works for me. And so dating your species is really my way of giving people permission to figure out what actually works for you and then, you know, go fall in love with somebody who's a good fit for you. And you increase your odds of having a longer, happier, more fulfilling relationship over time.
Okay, I like that. It makes sense. Jeannie, for the listeners who are over 45 that haven't found love, what words of encouragement can you offer them, and what are the benefits of eHarmony?
Well, I would first say that whoever's over 45 and still looking for love online, you have the numbers in your favor. There are more and more people over 45 joining dating sites every day. So number one, you have numbers on your side. You're not alone in this. There are lots of people just like you. You know, I've talked to people 50, 60, 70, 80 who met on eHarmony. So I just feel like having the right attitude is so important about it. Don't let technology be an obstacle to helping you find love if you're, you know, unsure and not really into Facebook and Twitter and all the online stuff. You know, the dating has changed in some regard just because of the technology, but really at the end of the day, it's still the same in terms of values and like Reed was saying, compatibility really mattering. So keep it positive, and if you are really if your intention's there, you'll find it. Don't give up. That's what I would say.
Mm.
And the great thing about, you know, eHarmony is I've learned so much since I've worked here for over 5 years now. Is first, you know, you have great quality people coming to the site looking for a relationship. That's one great thing. And the next point I want to make is that, you know, we have done so much research, starting with Neil, our founder, Neil Clark Warren, being a therapist, a marriage therapist for 35-plus years, and seeing these couples in his office, unfortunately, a lot of times who just weren't a good fit, who just weren't compatible. So all this research, all these experts have contributed to our algorithms. So we match you with people that we really feel are going to be compatible with you for the long term, and you have a really good chance of having a successful relationship with. You know, most people will get 6 to 7 matches delivered per day to them. So you're not just out looking through hundreds of photos. We're actually sending you people that we really feel you could have a great connection with. So I think it's great in that regard, too.
It's like having your own personal editor. That's great.
Kind of, right?
Yeah, I love that.
And there's a lot of studies out there that say, like, more isn't necessarily better. More, you know, more options and more choices sometimes can be overwhelming. So mm-hmm. sometimes it's actually better to have less and more quality.
That's great. Liz, I've heard you talk about emotional discipline. Would you explain what you mean by that?
Oh, another one of my hot buttons. I just love this. Well, this is a term that I came up with in the many, many hours of trying to figure out how to break the dysfunctional dating cycle for me and how to really fall in love with someone who is a fit for me. And I'm going to refer a little bit to what Reed said about the whole cocaine thing, which I thought was very funny. Because sometimes when we meet people, we have that what I call insta-bond. And we feel like, you know, the sky has just opened up and it's singing Ave Maria and then this is like the most amazing person on the planet. But we don't take the time and the space to really get to know who the person is. And this is where I began to practice something I've called now emotional discipline, is to have the discipline to step back, to take it slowly, and to see if this person has the qualities that I'm really looking for in a partner and that I have the qualities that they're really looking for in a partner, instead of allowing, something like sexual passion to get in the way, I guess. It's just to really, really take a step back and have the discipline to take things slowly to really see if this person is a fit for you.
That makes so much sense. Lauren, should you Google somebody before you meet them?
I actually think that you should. Should is a really odd word. Should, I don't know, but I think that people do. And I think that they're going to Google you. So if people have put enough information out there about themselves for you to actually find out who they are, and you feel curious, I think that more information about people is, better. And there are sometimes good safety reasons to find out who people are, and people are often curious. But I definitely think that, I have a client. I have a client who was in a relationship with somebody and Googled him. He did not post his photo online. So a lot of people who are very successful, several years ago, I was not as clear about this issue. I used to say to women categorically, if somebody does not post their photo online, don't date them. And there was that kind of old wives' tale that they're either married or a cheater or a. And so this man had contacted my client repeatedly, and she's beautiful, and they're actually on my website about the Man Magnet Makeover, and you can see wedding pictures of them. But basically he emailed her repeatedly, and she did not. She kind of just shot him down because she was really being a good student and doing what I suggested. And finally, her handle was Scarlet Tiger. That was her username, which is something, that's an image you cannot forget. And he said, wow, ow, I've been mauled by the tiger. And she laughed, and she opened up the email, and he said, I've been emailing you regularly. You are not responding. I think it's because I don't have a photo. And, I am the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. I have 4,000 employees and don't want them to make fun of me. But here is my name. So he actually offered up his information so that she could find out who he was. So if somebody does not post a picture and they're reaching out and they're saying that they're so successful and I've coached actually a lot of celebrities who have dated online and found love online. I do encourage people to hide their photos and their information, because it's not okay for them to be on the World Wide Web for everybody to see. But then you do need to let people know who you are. So it works both ways. So you can actually let people find you if you're hiding. And if they let you know who they are, you can find more information out.
Does anybody else think that you should not Google people? No? Okay, well, last question for all of you, because I can't believe an hour has flown by already. Liz, tell us what you're most excited about these days and how the listeners can learn more about you.
Well, as you know, I run the Celebrate Your Life conferences in Arizona and other places in the country, and I'm just always excited about the events that we do. And people can get in touch with me through my website at celebrateyourlife.org, or you can always find me online at Liz Dawn Donahue. Now I have three names.
That's fantastic. Great. So celebrateyourlife.org is the main website. And I have spoken at that conference. I've attended that conference. And it is the best personal growth conference on the planet. Highly recommend it. Reed, what are you most excited about, and how can the listeners learn more about you?
My main website is readaboutsex.com, R-E-I-D, aboutsex.com. And that's where people can find a whole bunch of sex geekery and all kinds of communication tools and techniques. And then the newest thing I launched this year, which I'm super excited about, is a whole series of free relationship training videos that people can get at relationship10x.com, the number 10 and then the letter x.com. And then if they enjoy that kind of relationship geekery and learning how to be more romantic and how to understand why your partner may not be as romantic as you like, and how to learn how to make your partner's bodies sing in the bedroom. If they're interested, they can sign up for a whole six-week course where we go step-by-step through a lot of different communication tools and just how to transform your relationships tenfold.
Fantastic. And Jeannie, what are you excited about?
Well, I'm excited every day, honestly, to walk into eHarmony and learn how our engineers are improving our matching systems and algorithms. So there's that piece of it, because we're always trying to make the matching better and more successful. So that's really cool to be a part of. But I love managing eHarmony's free dating advice site, which is eHarmony.com/datingadvice. And it's just got a bunch of great content from different experts and authors, and even some amazing articles from you, Ariel. And it's just a great place to come and read about, you know, dating, love, relationships, anything.
Okay, give us that URL again.
It's at eHarmony.com/datingadvice.
Dating advice. Great. Thank you. And Lauren, what are you excited about, and how can we learn more about you?
Well, if you would like a free podcast, anybody out there in cyber space, you can email me at cupidsinbox.com.
Say that again.
cupidsinbox.com, and get a free cyber flirt podcast, which will give you some secrets about online dating. And also, I'm really excited about the cyber flirt toolkit that I'm coming out with. It's a great online virtual program, which will give you online profile writing templates, which will help you if you're not a writer. Everybody's talking about how important it is to write great profile. It's literally like almost like Mad Libs, which it will literally help you create a really authentic, moving, visual, real online profile that gets real results.
And how do they access that?
You can go to my website, which is laurenfrances.com. It's laurenfrances.com. And you will find it. Also, if you go to Cupid's Inbox, it'll get you on the list, and you'll be able to get information about the CyberFlip Toolkit.
Oh, fantastic. I'll bet a lot of people could really use that template as well. So, Lauren and Reed and Jeannie and Liz, I want to thank you so much for sharing all this really juicy information for everybody who's ready to start online dating. And thank you for your time. It's been a pleasure being with you. And for all of you listeners, I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.